sister, friend, or brother loves the way that Jesus can. He proved his love for me when he died on Calvary. He gave his life for fallen man. His love, it's a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity. Jesus wants to love you. There is none above you. You are precious in his sight. He will never fail you. When the doubts assail you, he'll be with you day and night. Boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me.
Thank you. Open your Bibles today to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Throughout the Word of God, there are some great stories that Jesus used to teach us of our great need. He uses these stories to teach about salvation and how foolish it is to put our confidence in worldly things and not in Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you today on the subject, the rich, lost fool. Now, I didn't call him a fool. Jesus did. But any man who lives his life for stuff, for things, for material riches, and not for Jesus Christ, has played the fool. Stand with me as I begin to read in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 13. And one of the company, this is a great multitude that came to Jesus, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. There is where most people in the world today is living. They want stuff. They want things. They want material gain. Listen to me. God is not against a person being blessed financially or materially. Some of the richest people in the entire Bible, God made rich because of their faithfulness to him. So it's not money that's evil, it's the love of money, and that's the root of all evil. And it's making money your master instead of using it as a servant that makes it wrong, makes it bad. And one of the company said, would you speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me? And Jesus said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Men and women and boys and girls live their life to get. And anyone who lives his life to get things and does not give forth his attention to the greatest thing is a fool. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, what I've just read to you, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, is the devil's gospel. He's saying, don't think about spiritual things. Don't think about your life being accountable to God. You just take it easy. You've got plenty of time. Just eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. Have your parties. You don't need God. And that's what this man was thinking. But God said unto him, notice that, but God said unto him, but shows a contrast. It's usually the opposite. This man said, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to believe the devil's gospel. But God had said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He said, that person is a fool that lives his life laying up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Father, help me today to bring this message in such a simple way that everyone here might understand that you're not opposed to God's people being blessed or being prosperous as long as Christ is first and they live by His word and for His glory and according to His will. You're not opposed to people being successful or attaining wealth as long as they use it biblically. But help us to understand if all we're living for is to gain wealth so we can buy things and eat, drink, and be merry, then we are fools. For there is a need in every one of our life that money cannot buy. There is a need that can only be met through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Help me to make that plain today. And I ask you, Holy Spirit of God, to walk up and down the aisles of this auditorium, stop by every pew and every individual, and speak to their heart about their relationship with God. And help them to understand that if they've never accepted Christ, they have no relationship with God. Because our relationship with God only begins when we are born again, when we're saved, we're made alive. Then we become a part of God's family, the family of the redeemed. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts. Save every unsaved person listening to my voice. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the eyes of the world, this rich man was anything but a fool. He was a good farmer. He was a shrewd businessman, and he was a good investor. He was wise in worldly wisdom and knowledge, but he was blind and void of true wisdom because true wisdom always includes God in one's plans and in our lives. This man possessed culture, but he was Christless. He knew many things, but he did not know God. Therefore, God said he was a fool. Number one, he was a fool because he left God out of his calculations and plans for his life. And may I say to you, if you're here today living your life without God as the focal point of your plans and your life, you too are playing the fool. God did not intend for us just to serve Him with leftover time. God intended for us to make Him first. He intended for us to make Him preeminent in all things. He is to be our first love. We're to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our might. That's the greatest of all the commandments, the Bible says. He was a fool because he left God out of his calculations and plans for his life. Now, he spent time planning his life, but he left God totally out. Listen at verse 17, 18, and 19. And this man thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, "This will I do. I'll pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." God is not mentioned anywhere in his plans. It was this rich man's will. It was his plan, his fruit, his goods. God had no place in his life. He believed only in the devil's gospel. Eat, drink, and be merry. He was living the self-centered life of a capitalist without God. Capitalism is not wrong. God's not against us being successful in business. It's wrong only when we make all of our calculations leaving God out and living only for ourselves and for this world. He was living a self-centered, selfish lifestyle. The gospel of Jesus Christ compels a man to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. We're not told to lay up our treasures here on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven, and there they cannot be stolen, and there they do not corrupt, and moths do not eat them, and men cannot steal them. The devil's gospel glorifies man, not Jesus Christ. The rich fool said, "I will build new barns to store my fruit, my goods, my money, me, myself, and I." That's all he thought about. His worldly friends called him successful. But God said he was a fool because he left God out of his plans, out of his calculations for life. By the way, have you? Where is God in your life? Where is God in your marriage? Where is God in your family? Where is God in your child rearing? Where is God in your business life? Listen, folks, the first fundamental principle of stewardship is this: it all belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You say, "But why does the devil own so much?" Because he's stolen it from God, and Christians have given it away to the devil. He was a fool because he left God out of his calculations and plans for his life. Secondly, God called him a fool because he was too busy to prepare to meet God in death. He was just too busy. He never thought about dying. His thought about planting and building and new business, new barns, more food, more products, more money, more parties, more eating, more drinking, more merriness. He never thought about dying. But God said in verse number 20, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." Like many today, he thought that he was too busy to attend the local church's Sunday school or church or revival meetings. He had no time for God. He was too busy, too busy. He had no time for the soul winners, perhaps, who came by and knocked on his door. But he wasn't too busy to die. You listen to me. God says that our life at best is short. Short and full of trouble. The Bible says that God has set bounds around our lives, and we cannot go beyond them. God says, at our best, we're just going to live so long. The Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, on heaven's calendar, God's got an appointment with you and that day of death. You may be too busy for God. You may be too busy for church. You may be having your good old time in the world, trying to make some money, living without God, ignoring your family. But there's coming a time when God says, buddy, sister, tonight's your night. You've got to meet God. You've got to die. With all of his shrewd business dealings, he could not figure a way to keep the devil from claiming his eternal soul for hell at death. Oh, he could make money. He could farm. He could build. He could lay up treasures on earth. But he couldn't keep the devil from claiming his lost soul when he died. And neither can you. You live without God and die without Christ, you'll go to hell forever and forever and ever. It's that plain, that simple. No ifs, ands, buts. There's not one chance in 10 million you could slip into heaven without getting born again. This man was a fool because he was too busy to prepare to meet God. Lived without Christ, he died without Christ, and was condemned to hell forever and ever. And this story, though we don't know the name of this man, could be written about some of you here today who are living your life without Christ. And God said, any man who makes his plans and lives his life for stuff, for things, for material gain, and never makes preparation for eternity, is a fool. He is a fool. Now that's not popular, is it? But it's truth. It's truth. We have a sickness about us called sin. And every one of us have it. And it's terminal. We're all going to die because of sin. If we don't get the cure for sin while we're alive, we'll go to hell because of that sin forever and ever. And the cure is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, who died for us on that old rugged cross. Thirdly, this man was a fool because he thought his body was of greater value than his eternal soul. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. I'll live it up. Sounds like some of our teenagers. Sounds like some of the kids raised in Christian families. I'm concerned about some of our kids, some of your kids, that don't respect authority, that act up during church, don't listen to the preacher. That when you're away, live differently than you think they're living. I'm concerned about them. Have they been saved? Have they been born again? I hope so. But as I told my Sunday school class, the gospel is a revolutionary message. It transforms lives. Has your life been transformed? Well, when we get transformed, when we get born again, we're redeemed, we're saved, we're new creatures in Christ. All things pass away. All things become new. That means there's a change that takes place beginning in here. I talked to a person one day and she said, well, God sees my heart. Yes, he does. But you know, the people we're trying to reach don't see our heart. They just see our life. They see our actions. They see our walk. They see our worldliness, our carnality, our inconsistency, our unfaithfulness. That's the reason a Christian ought to determine to be different than the rest of the world. Because we're trying to portray to them Christ. Listen, if there is no difference between a Christian and an unsaved person, then why should an unsaved person ever want to be saved? See, what is the same is not different. And may I say to you, there is a difference between an unsaved person and a saved person. There's a difference in here. There ought to be a difference beginning to be apparent out here. The change out here is not an overnight change, but as we grow and mature in the Lord. And something's bad wrong when a person says, I'm a Christian, and they're still living like hell itself. Living without God, living without Christ, contradicting the Word of God, acting like Christians ought not act. Hey, this man was a fool because he thought his body was of greater value than his soul. When we live to please this old body, we're discarding who we really are. We are not a body with a soul. We're a soul, an eternal, forever living soul in a body. You know what this body was until the soul was breathed into it? Dead dirt. God created man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man did not become a body with a soul. He became a living soul. May I say to you, the most important thing about you is your eternal soul. And the part of your soul being that has a relationship with God is your spirit. And without Christ, the spirit is dead because of sin. We got it from Adam. That's the reason we need to be born again. So we can have a relationship with God. When we're born again, our sins are forgiven. We're made alive in Christ Jesus. Our spirit comes alive and our soul is saved. This man planned and toiled for material gain in this life, but did nothing to care for his soul. He fed and pampered the body while he starved the soul. You know, in the book of Acts, there are three rich men mentioned in the Gospels of Luke. In the book of Luke, there are three rich men that are mentioned. One came to Jesus and was called a rich young ruler and asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gave him the answer, and he went away lost, sorrowing, because he didn't like the answer. Then there's the rich fool that didn't concern himself about eternal salvation. He was only interested in making money, and he died rich, but died lost, died unsaved. And then in Luke chapter 16, there's the rich fool, or the rich man that died unsaved. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torments. And may I say to you, you don't have to be rich to go to hell. All you have to do is live your life without Christ. Whether you dedicate yourself to making money and you don't have time for Christ, or you dedicate yourself playing the world's games and you don't have time for Christ, you'll still die the same death and go to the same hell if you don't make time for Jesus. You must be born again. Riches can never bring peace and contentment to the soul, or peace to the heart or the mind. Riches can't get you into heaven when you die. That's provided only in Jesus Christ. Fourthly, this rich man was a fool because he settled for the wrong answer when he asked the right question. Verse 17, he said, what shall I do? What shall I do? I wish you'd ask that question. You know, I wouldn't talk to you first about material things. I wouldn't talk to you about your job or your clothing. I'd talk to you about Jesus, because that's the most important person in your life. Being saved is the most important decision you'll ever make. And it's not something you work for or something you earn. It's a gift paid for by God through Jesus Christ. You can only receive it freely and welcome him into your heart and into your life. He said, "What shall I do?" And look at his answer. He said, "I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater ones, and there will I bestow all my fruit, my goods, and I'll say to my soul, soul, thou much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He asked the right question. He settled for the wrong answer. We have another man in Acts chapter 16, verse 30, 31, who asked the same question. He said to Paul, the preacher, God's man, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in all thine house." You know what that man did? He fell on his knees trembling and asked Jesus to save him. And then he said, "I want you to come to my house with me. I got a house full of people in my family that don't know you." And Paul went home with them and told them the story, and they got saved, and the whole family was baptized after they got saved. By the way, have you ever got the right answer to that question? How will you answer this question today? What shall I do? The answer ought to be, "I will arise and go to Jesus. He'll save me from all my sins." And he will. He will. Be careful, dear friend. The rich man was called into eternity without hardly a moment's notice. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You ought to circle that word, required. God doesn't request us to meet him in death. He requires it. It's not on our calendar to die, but it's on God's calendar. You may be living the day of your death today or tomorrow. It's a terrible thing for a person to lose their health or lose their family or even to lose their wealth. However, it is infinitely more sad when a person loses his soul. You may not have wealth to lose, but you've got a soul. And that soul of yours is more valuable than the multi-billions and trillions of wealth in this world today. Your soul, so valuable, that God sent his Son down to this earth to take our sin upon himself and die on that old rugged cross to purchase our salvation. Ever since you've been old enough to understand right from wrong, he's been trying to give it to you. How many times have you heard the gospel story and you've not accepted Christ? How many times have the Holy Spirit convicted you of your need of Jesus and you've turned your heart, your ear, and your head away from his will? What shall I do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Accept him. One never, you know, a person can lose his fortune and make another one. In fact, did you know that most millionaires have already lost at least one fortune before they become millionaires or multimillionaires? You can recover from losing your fortune, but you can't recover from losing your soul. What shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will you give in exchange for your soul? Will you exchange your eternal soul for a party? Eat, drink, and be merry? What will you give for your soul? Some of you are selling out cheaply. "Well, I want my marijuana. I want my liquor. I want my alcohol. I want my boyfriend or my girlfriend. I can't be saved. I'm not going to get saved because I might get under conviction about that." Oh, you're a fool. The most valuable possession you have is your soul. Don't you sell out. You can never recover when you lose your soul. And then fifthly, now that this rich fool is dead, I want you to consider what he left the world and what he carried with him to meet God. He left in this world enough money to have a great funeral. But while his friends wept, he trembled, lost, and undone in eternity in the presence of God. He carried to God a wasted life and all his sin and no hope for eternity. He was rich, but he was a lost fool. His wealth provided a lavish lifestyle here on earth, great funeral, great parties, but his wealth could not prevent his soul from being cast into hell forever and forever. All his worldly riches are left for others to fight over, and he had to face God as a bankrupt sinner, eternally lost. How about you this morning? Now, you listen to me. Don't you go home and say, boy, preacher preached against making money and working a job and trying to be successful. No, sir. But let me tell you up front, you're not successful no matter how much money you make if you're living your life without Jesus. You're going to die a bankrupt sinner without hope and without God, and all you have to look forward to is an eternity in hell. God's not against you having a good job, and God's not against you being successful. In fact, if you live right and do right, God will promote you and help you. But he's not going to help you so you can live your life without him. He made you for himself. Sin separated me and you from God, and God gave his son Jesus to die for us so he could buy us back from the slave market of sin. So once again, he could have our life and have our love. But let me tell you something. God does not force Jesus on anyone. God's not going to come back to where you're sitting and get you by the hair of the head and pull you down here to accept Christ. You know what the Bible teaches? He stands at your door and knocks. He won't come in unless you invite him. He won't take over your life unless you accept him and yield yourself to his will. But every one of us must make that decision. I'm not going to die a fool. I'm going to accept Christ. Whether I have money in my pocket or I don't, whether I'm rich or I'm poor, if I live my life without Jesus, I am a fool. And so are you. Have you accepted him as your Savior? Have you put your trust in him? Have you taken time in your life to do inventory over your life and your eternal soul? You don't have much without Jesus. It's all going to be left behind. It's all going to be wasted and burned up one day. Our greatest decision in this life is to make time to accept Christ. And in God's plan, he's brought you here today and has given you an opportunity to choose to accept him. May I say to you and say to you plainly that everybody who's ever gotten saved had to get saved the same way. We had to stop and see our lost condition and understand that we need to be born again. And once we understand that, we invite Jesus into our heart. Why, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking at your heart's door for entrance. But there's no door handle on the side where he stands. Only you can open that heart's door and let him come in. Have you? Will you? Or will you sit here today and play the fool and live your life without Christ? God forbid. Father, that's my message today. Now take it, and I felt this is exactly what you wanted me to preach.